This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Orioles spring training game against the Braves rained out today. They are two games into their season. And joining us now, man, we look forward to seeing a lot of on Masson as Oriole baseball season starts late March. He's part of the broadcast. It's Big Ben McDonald joining us on the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Ben, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. How was the guest coaching stint there with the Birds?
Good afternoon. Always good to join you guys. Look, as usual, I think it's like been my fifth straight year. I love it. You know, I love catching up with the guys, like seeing all the guys. Seems like we just left each other, you know, a month ago is what it feels like. You know, you got around quick. And, of course, that's always the idea when you make it to the playoffs. It's off season's a little bit shorter, you know. But I really enjoy my time, you know, and just seeing the coaching staff and the players, and just kind of catching up, see what they did this offseason, see what they worked on a little bit, how they wanted to improve and get better, what they thought about their season last year. And, you know, I use it for my valuable information so I can tell some of the stories when we, you know, crank up on Masson and stuff, you know. So it's always good.
Everyone always looks at the young guys every spring training, Ben, and Kay Povich, Brandon Young, they both pitched yesterday. What was it like working with those guys, and what did you think of their performance yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, look, Povich opened my eyes, you know, because what we heard, you know, in September last year, because, you know, what we heard in the minor leagues was the stuff was solid, but the question is, could he get it over the plate enough? You know, he had to cut the walks down a little bit like McDermott did, you know, and, boy, the month of September rolled around on Povich, and honestly, I wasn't sold on him when I first saw him. He had a couple of good outings in there, and then September rolled around, and you guys know what he did in September. I mean, I think it was five starts and the ERA about 2.6, 2.7. And he started to land that breaking ball and those off-speed pitches, and it got him off the fastball a little bit. And not that he doesn't have a good fastball, he does. And, you know, he made some tweaks like a lot of guys do, you know, and he kind of changed the grip on his changeup this offseason. I was talking to him about that, and he feels like a lot like Brian Baker, changed the grip, a lot more confidence in it, able to throw it for strikes a little bit more. So I like Povich. You know, obviously Povich, unless there's an injury, heaven forbid, is probably going to start in AAA this year. But to me, he'll be the first one up, you know, when and if something does happen to one of the five that are probably going to be in the rotation this year. So I like what I saw from him yesterday. I think he's going to be a big piece for the Orioles. Because, look, I mean, here's the truth, and you guys know this too, and I think the fans in Baltimore too. I mean, the average big league team last year used about 13 starting pitchers to get through 162 games. That's the average, man. The Dodgers, who won it all, used 17, I think it was. So you got to have depth. I think Mike Elias, for the most part, has addressed the depth issue piece of it, you know, by picking up a few more guys and a little bit more prepared in case something like that does happen this year. Now, Young's a guy, obviously, minor league pitcher of the year last year. Big kid, you know, 6'6", just a big frame out of him. I like his fastball. His fastball's got some analytics to it. It's got some good carry through the zone. It's a mid-90s heater. And the off-speed stuff is coming for him, too, you know, and – he had a good year last year, something to build on. He's excited about putting that Oriole uniform on again this year and going to work. And, of course, Young's goal is to be in the big leagues this year. He wants to be in the big leagues. It doesn't matter in what capacity. He said, hey, I'll start. I'll be a reliever. I'll do whatever they need me to do. I just want to try to make my way to the big leagues. But he'll know he's going to start in the minor leagues as well, most probably this year. And, you know, if he has a good year, he might be the first or second one called up for an opportunity, you know.
Ben, we got to see about a half game out of Sam Basayo behind the plate. He continues to grow into his body and become more adept with his footwork and his framing and some of the nuance. Did you have a chance to watch him catch some guys on backfields or whatever? And just, we all know he can smoke a baseball coming out of the box. But just wondered about what you saw from him, sort of all the intangibles that go into catching.
Yeah, look, I mean, we know he can hit, and we know it's loud when he hits, and they've documented that 1,000 times. And the bat, of course, was ahead of the defense last year. But I'm going to tell you what, watching him this year, watching him last year, when I saw him last year receive, I feel like he's better behind the plate already. Like he really, really handled the glove well. He moved for a big guy, and I mean, he is big, guys. He reminds me of Salvador Perez. Mm. He's about the same height, you know, but not quite as thick as Perez is, but you could see that body putting on some weight and being that big, say, in 4 or 5 years from now, you know. But to be as big as he is, guys, I'm telling you, he's a lot more athletic than what Perez is over in Kansas City. Like, this dude's athletic. And talking to the coaching staff, they said, look, man, you could stick him at first base right now, he'd be above average first baseman. His footwork is that good. His glove is that good. Obviously, he's a big target over there, you know. And even one coach, who I won't name the coaches that told me that, said, listen, you could almost put this guy in corner outfield too. Like, he's that athletic to play corner outfield. Now, I don't know if he ever gets there in an Oriole uniform, but what I'm getting at is he's got some options, either behind home plate, first base, designated hitter. Like, you can move him around. And I think the kid is obviously young, but he is very athletic. I'm impressed by how flexible he is. I'm impressed by the way he moves for a big guy behind home plate. So, I think the sky's the limit here. I think the bat's going to get into the big leagues. What's going to make him an all-star and what's going to make him a premium player is to be able to do both on both sides of the ball, to be able to defend. And I'm telling you what now, he's got a cannon. It ain't hurt on arm strength. I'm going to tell you that. He gets it down to second base. Like, he can really throw it. The question is how quickly can he pick up the umpires? Can he pick up the opposing hitter to know what pitches to call? And how well can he frame and block and control the pitching game for the pitchers that are out there? And when he does that, y'all, I'm telling you what, this is a special talent. He really is.
We're talking with Ben McDonald, Inside Access here on The Fan. Ben, when you were there, what did you think of the two veteran pitchers? Obviously, you only see them on side fields, the starters, I mean, Sagano and Morton. What, if anything, did you see from those guys?
Yeah, look, Charlie Morton is Charlie Morton. You know, I mean, Charlie's been around a long time. As you guys know, he revamped himself over in Houston, went from a more of a sinker slider pitcher to more of a four-seam guy. Still will throw the two-seam. He'll sink it from time to time. He's working on a little bit of a new pitch like a lot of people are right now. You know, he's kind of started to kind of mix in a little bit of cut fastball as well. But Charlie's been doing it for a long time. He gets it. He's a veteran guy that you need. And even at 41 years old, I'm sitting there watching him throw his bullpen, and he's still pumping balls in there, even in a bullpen at 92 to 94, you know. And so there's plenty of fastball there, and he's got that big overhand curveball. He brings a lot of postseason experience. I think he's going to be great, not only on the bump for the Orioles, but in the clubhouse too with some of the younger pitchers that are out there. You know, Sagano, got to see him throw a bullpen, got to see him throw, you know, live. It's control and command with Sagano. That's what it is. It's not a blazing fastball. He hasn't showed that yet. But it's about being able to sink it, be able to foreseam it. He's going to hit spots, you know, and that's really the strength of it. A lot like Eflin, but Eflin throws a little bit harder. But those guys are big-time control pitchers. Now, I'll tell you this. The cutter was good for me when I saw it, and the split-finger fastball was above average. Like, whatever the usage was in Japan, let's say 30%, He's gonna amp that up. I could see a scenario where he's throwing 40% splitters this year because the splitter is certainly that good for me. So a lot's gonna have to happen as far as, you know, how teams approach him and how he wants to approach. Here's what I loved about him, and I said on this meeting with the translator, and I'll tell you guys real quick. You know, a lot of times you get veteran guys that come in, they have a lot of success no matter where they came from. Of course, winning 2 Cy Youngs and 3 MVPs over in Japan in a really good league. A lot of those guys are like, hey, I'm going to do it my way. And if that way doesn't work, then I'll be open to wanting to change and listen to you guys. But like when I sat in on the meeting the other day with him, he was like, hey, whatever you guys think I need to do, I will do it. Like, if you're concerned about my sequencing, I'm willing to listen. I want to be the best I can be for the Baltimore Orioles. I'm going to pitch in the World Series. I want to be a part of this. And so he's open to change or whatever they want to do right away, which was very refreshing for a veteran guy that's had so much success.
Well, Ben, let's end with Grayson Rodriguez. There's obviously a lot of pressure on a lot of these young guys, but Mike Elias this offseason talking about Grayson taking that next step to become that ace pitcher. Injuries have unfortunately hampered him the past couple of years, but are you expecting Grayson Rodriguez to put it all together in a healthy 2025?
Yeah, look, that's the only thing that's keeping Grayson from being a real number one, right? I mean, to be a real dude, to be a real number one, you know what you do? You answer the bell every fifth day. And Grayson has wanted to do that. Unfortunately, you know, he's not been able to do that. You know, he got sent down the 1 year for a while, came back, was really good, and, of course, had the lat issue, missed the final 2 weeks, or 2 months, rather, last year. So that's the only thing missing. You go back and look what Grayson's done since being recalled a year and a half ago. He's been just about as good as anybody. You know, he flashes number one stuff. He has the mentality to do it. He has the stuff to do it. He's got the makeup, the body to do it. The only thing's missing is going out there and pitching 30 to 32 starts this year and giving the Orioles, you know, 165 to 185 innings. That's the only thing missing right now. And so hopefully that's going to be the case this year. Because, look, honestly, that's what the Orioles have to have. I mean, Eflin and Rodriguez, to me, and Dean Kramer have to give the Orioles 30 starts apiece this year. They got to get 90 starts out of those three guys. If they do that, I think when the dust settles on 162, the Orioles are going to be in a pretty good spot.
Ben McDonald, baseball is back. Always good talking to you, man. We appreciate your time. Hope to talk soon.
Anytime, guys. Take care.
Thanks, bud.
Coming up next, we want to hear some sound from the weekend. Brandon Hyde spoke after the Pirates game Saturday. What did he have to say? We'll hear from him next.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next here on The Fan.
I thought we played good defense. Long spring training game. We'd have way too many three ball counts on the mound and didn't pitch extremely well. But I thought we played well defensively. And, you know, some of our main guys only played a few innings in this first game. But, you know, good to see some of the other guys get out there. And I was happy with how we played defensively.
There's Brandon Hyde talking about how the team played defensively. That's back on Saturday when they lost to the Pirates 10-5, but he was happy with the defensive effort.
Well, look, I think Jackson Holliday, again, we're going to have to see how this plays out, but he looks more down like sort of comfortable, let's just say. I feel like his timing, I think he's got a better understanding of what he needs to do to get the ball to first base and not have everything look like a bang-bang play. I'm sure he worked on that in so much as you can replicate something like that in the offseason. I was surprised they put a guy like Barreto in the outfield. He got to a ball or two I didn't think he was going to get to. I would wish that there was more that... you know, Bradfield could have done in the outfield. You obviously can't control where the ball's hit or what happens there. We haven't seen Adley yet. Adley's defense is going to be a major thing.
As far as Jackson, and obviously it sounds elementary, but he was talking about how it was a point of emphasis taking a ton of grounders during this offseason. And this time a year ago, second base was a foreign position to him. Yep. And that's on the organization for not having him play more second base in the minors. But there has to be so much more comfortability for Jackson Holliday heading into this spring training as opposed to last year, where all of that's behind him in terms of the debut and in terms of the position change. And yes, he's still fresh to second base, but he at least has a lot more game experience this go around.
More from Brandon Hyde. How about Kobe Mayo's defense at third base?
Yeah, he's still, you know, making a lot of progress. He's working hard every single morning and been a lot of extra work defensively at third base. Can play a little bit of first base also. I've been happy with the improvements he's made defensively from last season to what he took into the break in the offseason. Done a nice job, and he continues to work every day.
Some would say he has nowhere to go but up defensively, so hopefully he's looking better.
I remember when we had Jacob Kalbemeyer on last week, I was so surprised when Mike Elias met with the media when they got down to Sarasota and say that he was going to mainly play third base, talking about Kobe Mayo. That shocks me after what we saw last year.
Old habits die hard with these guys. They want to continue to put kids in roles that they know will never translate to for their team at the major league level ever, ever, ever. Whether that is protecting his trade value, although the guy, you must, like, again, you really take other people for fools. You think people like me don't know what they're watching. You think scouts for other teams don't know what they're watching. You know, like, you think the analytics community doesn't know what they're watching when they analyze this kid and what he is and isn't able to do at third base? You can take everybody for fools, but you're really just you're truncating the kid's own career path. You're making it more difficult for him to have a viable path to a true role at the major league level.
And what's even more puzzling with it is Brandon Hyde's already on record saying he wants Jordan Westberg to play the vast majority of the games at third base. So I just don't get it.
More from Brandon Hyde. What about Jackson Holliday's defense?
Yeah, I think he had more ground balls today. He had a couple than he had. We waited like 20 games last year before he got a ground ball. We moved him to second base. So he looked fine.
He looked fine. You touched on it in the open, Jason. He looks much more comfortable at second base than he did last year. And it's a short sample.
He gets a lot of action. You know, he's not someone who just has to play in the A games. He can travel a little bit. Try to get him a lot of work, because you really don't have, like, your backup plan apparently is Taron Vavra.
Huh.
I mean, unless I'm missing something. I mean, you could, like, again, you could put Westberg there.
Yeah, he could be the backup.
And then you put Ramon at third, yeah. But then, like, you need, Mateo's not going to be around for a while. You still need somebody else in that mix, whether that is Vasquez or whether that's Vavra, and how much that person may or may not have to play short. But
Levon Soto,
I don't think that would be ideal. But there isn't that Tony Kemp type guy there to, like, just be a second baseman if Jackson Holliday's not ready.
Tony Kemp type guy's available in the open market, I think.
Yeah.
He's been available since they cut him.
Yeah. I think you could go back and get him if you'd like. More from Brandon Hyde. Talks about Albert Suarez, and he's working on a new pitch.
He threw a couple today and didn't land them, but in the bullpen he has. And I know that he's excited about that pitch to get something to really go right to left. And, you know, it's a work in progress a little bit, but you know, he busted it out for a couple today.
Inning and two-thirds, three hits, two earned runs from Suarez, working on a slurve.
I hope he's working out of the bullpen this year.
That's where I want him.
I think everything will play up. If he's sort of the right-sided swingman and Aiken is the left-sided swingman and they're able to give you length, that would be nice to have him sort of settled into that role. Austin Voth was kind of in that role a few years ago, did well with it for a while. Mm-hmm. I think he's someone who could bet, not that he can't be a spot starter, and we've seen that happen, but I think if he had a little bit more of a defined role, it might help him.
That's exactly what I was going to say, have more of a defined role. And credit to him last year, toggling back and forth, starter, reliever, and that's great, the fact that he was able to do that, but I think he would be able to flourish even more in that defined role.
Orioles off today thanks to a rainout. Should be back in action tomorrow, weather permitting. They're 1-1 so far in spring training. Coming up next, it's six-pack time. And in light of the combine and tomorrow, Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh will be speaking to the media. The six things that EDC and Harbs least want to talk about during their media availability tomorrow. We'll give you our list next here on The Fan. John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta will be meeting with the media at the Combine tomorrow late morning. With that in mind, our six-pack are the six things they least want to talk about during their media availability. And Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
Put this at six because it's one of maybe, well, there's a couple serious ones in here. But Eric's not going to want to talk about Hamilton, Linderbaum, or quite frankly, extensions for anyone. He just doesn't. That's not his brand. He's not going to talk about extensions during this.
Well, I think he'd rather face some of those questions.
Yes.
Than some other ones.
Yes.
So
that's why it's at six.
Yeah. My six is, why can't you guys win more in the playoffs? Pretty simple.
That's a good one.
Number five.
My number five is, at what point, how many games does it take for a player's playoff sample size to be big enough to matter? And if it's more than five games, does that factor into your evaluation of Mark Andrews moving forward?
My five is the Lamar contract situation. He loved talking about it the first time around. I don't think he's going to want to really talk about it this time.
Number four.
Four is Mark Andrews. And what are they doing with Mark Andrews? He has come up. He's been great in the regular season. He has come up small in the postseason. Now, some of that is injury related. But man, oh man, he's yet to score a postseason touchdown.
Where's Silent Steve? Where is he and why did he go mute? Why did he? Is it because he botched the Ray Rice thing? Where's your owner? Where's he in all this?
He has spoken since then.
Yeah, he talked to four people.
Yeah.
Core four.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah, but that's one time he spoke.
It's a long time ago.
It was.
Yeah.
His team's in a little bit of crisis right now, I would say.
Yeah.
I think it's definitely Jason. I think it's extension talk is child's play.
Letting him off easy.
The rest of Jason's list.
We are doing the six-pack of things that Eric and John least want to talk about. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
How much time are you spending scouting free agent kickers, and how would you quantify this draft for kickers? Priority free agents. Teams have been taking kickers. Bless you, Bone. Bone's allergic to having to bring a new kicker to town. Nah. Some teams invest draft capital in kickers. Where are you on the kicker market?
They have historically done very well on the free agent kicker market. But alas, my three is Eric, is there anything you could do to bring in people that will keep you guys from beating yourselves in the playoffs? Because you could have made five moves, and if you still beat yourselves, do those guys make up for that?
Number two.
A week ago, I don't think the Baltimore Ravens marching band would have come up at the combine, but in light of some interesting information on Twitter.
Hey,
it's the Ravens stuff.
That's actually letting them off easy because, I mean, what the hell are they supposed to say about that?
I want to know their thoughts on the band and on Steve Smith and his Hall of Fame candidacy.
That's a low blow.
People
want to know.
What are they
going to add to it? Did they know that this was going on? Such extracurricular activities.
Ask the leader of the band. What are these guys going to say?
And by the way, it is also interesting that it takes Steve Smith being the band leader a couple years ago before a game into a whole new light.
I have more questions about the guy who tweeted all of that out and why he wanted that public, but whatever.
I got nothing on that.
I got many questions.
I really don't care about that. Well, I have no interest in that whole story.
I have lots of interest. I want to know more.
That didn't crack you up at all?
No.
I want to know what Shady Rays and Yeti Coolers have to do with the whole thing, because they were tagged in the whole, like, what do they have to do with this?
I'm guessing he probably has sponsorships with them.
Why do they have to catch strays?
Well, if he's their pitch man, that would be like in a Justin Tucker tweet tagging Rofo.
I have yet to see Steve Smith in a Yeti commercial, but maybe he does.
I'm guessing.
Maybe it's in the I'm guessing North Carolina he does stuff market.
For yeah, exactly.
My
number two is I'm old enough to remember you people taking victory laps about Deshaun Watson signing. So please, could you refresh us on your zero tolerance policy? What exactly does that mean? And could you explain it to me in 1,000 words or less?
Number one.
What about what you have clearly seen and read from 16 different women has not convinced you to the point where you are willing to cut Justin Tucker or put Justin Tucker on a commissioner's exempt list? What more would it take? What's been lacking? How could you possibly align yourself with that disgusting, despicable statement that he put out in the face of mounting credible allegations? Do you not realize that bleeds off on you too?
Yeah, we're simpatico at one. Everything Justin Tucker related is the one. I don't think they want to talk about it at all. But guess what? And in part because of what Jason said, they were very vocal about the Deshaun Watson situation at the time that happened. And now their house is not in order. And quite frankly, what's it going to take to clean house of this situation?
Way to take down the ginger gorilla.
Steve Smith
you rebounded with the top three. I'll give you bonus points with Steve Smith, but I don't think there was coming back from the extensions talk.
I think the zero tolerance policy too. I mean, they wrapped themselves in that like it was some glorious
Only Harbaugh used the term zero tolerance. They never did. If you go back, even Steve at that press conference did not say zero tolerance, and he'd say we take it on a case by case basis. But Harbaugh spoke for them.
The coach of the football team.
Yes.
And he put it on Dick Cass.
Yes, he did.
And he put it on Steve Bisciotti. And we've played the clip. So,
I agree.
Mean, either he made it up or that's what they talked about behind closed doors. And he's the face of it.
He is. But I agree with that.
When a team traded for and extended a quarterback who basically is accused to be doing the same things that their face of the franchise kicker had been doing for decades, allegedly, in this town, and they prop themselves up behind a BS word salad fake-ass policy, like they're better and holier than thou, like they're some elite franchise, and now we're over a month into this, and none of them have the balls to say anything about it. None of them can even put a statement out. Chad Steele can't put together 10 words that make sense together to have any sort of coherent stance on where they are regarding their freak show kicker, yet they're better than the Browns, and they can look down on them for Deshaun Watson.
They are better than the Browns.
I never would have thought that tomorrow Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh, and rightfully so, would get grilled about this Justin Tucker. So I would have thought that they would have washed their hands of this. And even if you're just looking at it from, it's ridiculous enough that 16 women have come out and you are moving on from that point. But even if you're looking at this from just a pure football perspective right now, he's going to get, it's a minimum of 6 games, correct? When it's associated with this.
I mean.
So you're going to bring in a new kicker for 6 games and then
shouldn't matter.
Bring back the 35-year-old kicker that's coming off his worst season ever because that makes sense? None of it makes sense.
Stand by your man.
I'm confused by the whole thing because, like, just from the football part of it, and it shouldn't be just about the football part of it, but this whole sordid thing has given you an out.
That's my point. It's giving you the easiest out to wash your hands of this.
Yeah. Well, we will hear from John and from Eric tomorrow as they speak to the media. I'll be curious to hear what they have to say. We will play the highlights tomorrow on the program. But coming up next, it's T-Bone time. It's TMI with TIM. What you got?
So I have recently been in a movie club. I guess we've met 5 times now, 6 times now. We do it once a month, and you're given homework of one movie, and then we watch another movie together. We saw Punch Drunk Love yesterday, which is a fantastic movie if you haven't seen it. But the movie that I was supposed to watch ahead of it, Phantom Thread, is what it is called. I thought it was horrible. I thought it was garbage, but everyone loved it. And I'm
you know what's horrible?
Confused.
That movie you made us watch.
It Follows.
Yeah, that was horrible. Yeah.
So 410-583-1057. Is there a movie out there? And really, Phantom Thread's small on the list, but maybe Star Wars is super popular, but you're
overrated.
Like, Star Wars sucks, or Harry Potter, or whatever. Is there a movie that you have seen that is really well-liked that you're like, this kind of stinks? 410-583-1057. We'll get into it next on The Fan.
It's T-Bone time, TMI with TIM, and the floor is yours.
Well, we all know by now, I don't know nothing about nothing, especially when it comes to movies. And recently I've been learning movies, and we do a movie club each month where you get one assignment to watch beforehand, and then we watch one together. And there's themes to each one. And my friend Dan did a theme for the director who I didn't really know before this, to be honest with you, but he is a big deal, I guess. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Paul Thomas Anderson movies. And the one that we were supposed to watch beforehand, Phantom Thread, which I'll get to in a second, and then Punch Drunk Love 2002 with Adam Sandler, which is an awesome movie, by the way. I would highly recommend that if you haven't seen it. But Phantom Thread, where I look it up beforehand just to get like an idea, and was nominated 6 nominations. At the Academy Awards, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor for Daniel Day-Lewis was the main, and he did the method acting in this one.
He's a method actor all the time.
Yeah, fully immersed himself.
Allegedly, when he played Abe Lincoln, he insisted on being Lincoln like the whole time they were filming.
Hopefully not till the very end.
Yeah, sure. Did
otherwise.
Jim Carrey do that with
The Andy Kaufman movie?
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Best original score, best costume design. So, in a nutshell, Phantom Thread is set back in the 50s, and Daniel Day-Lewis's character is this guy that loves making dresses, and he sort of falls for one of the girls, but nothing happens in the movie. Literally nothing happens besides just this weird relationship dynamic.
And you didn't like it?
It sucked.
Oh. It's like, I see where he's going.
No, nothing. There was no plot. There was no nothing. I'm
picking up what you're putting down.
It was just him. All right, dude. He's kind of a jerk.
A little
jerk.
Too familiar, Bump.
Did he play volleyball on Wednesday?
No. He's kind of a jerk to all of his workers, and he's just this curmudgeon-y guy, and I guess Daniel Day-Lewis did well. But 410-583-1057.
He should have got himself a Tempur-Pedic.
I'm asking the question, is there a movie out there that – a lot of people like, but you're like, this is terrible. For Phantom Thread. You have the floor.
The entire Star Wars franchise.
Come on.
And pretty much any movie that's made about fake stuff in outer space.
I love Star Wars.
Nah, does nothing for me. Jabberwockies, Ewoks, whatever.
No. Jabberwockies were the dancers, I think, that Shaq danced with.
Well, they're fine.
Yeah.
And I think Star Wars had to be massive when you guys were kids.
Yeah, I remember going to the movie theaters to see it.
Like, I had to wait 2 years to find out what happened to Han Solo, and I was not happy.
I remember as a child going to see Episode 3 in theaters.
Yeah.
Star Wars and E.T. were a huge thing. I'm more of an E.T. guy than
E.T.'s cool.
E.T.'s cool. It was great.
Than Star Wars. Chariots of Fire. Like, I even tried to, like, go back and watch it because, like, I mean, I remember watching it as a kid being like, man, these dudes are just running. Like, I don't get it.
It's boring.
And then I tried to rewatch it because it was, like, an acclaimed movie. I'm like, well, what are acclaimed movies that I'm not that familiar with? And I couldn't get through it. Same thing with Amadeus.
Amadeus was okay.
I don't know that.
I liked it more than Chariots of Fire.
Me too.
Yeah.
Better music.
Yeah.
Although,
that was great.
Yeah, was it? I don't know.
No, the music was great.
It was a little Muzak-y for me.
Yeah. I'll give you one that might surprise you.
Ooh.
I never really loved It's a Wonderful Life.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, okay. It's okay. I know everybody thinks it's like one of the greatest movies ever made. Oh, yeah. And it's very important in Christmas time.
I did watch that for the first time at Christmas.
And I was like,
That's pretty good. That's a timeless classic.
Yeah, that's good.
It's part of our tradition.
Yeah.
That and Holiday Inn. Those are always like the two old movies that I end up watching with Lauren around Christmas.
Beltway Ben, you have one?
Anything that has to do with Star Wars, Star Trek, Harry Potter.
Harry Potter.
Batman.
Fantasy. Oh, yeah, Star Trek does nothing for me.
So do you just not like any superhero movies in general or just Batman?
Any superhero. Know me. Well, I'm watching sports. That's really, like, Harry Potter,
I loved Harry Potter.
Was one of the most boring things I could do.
Oh.
Star Wars has nothing that could possibly drag me in. I've seen clips about it. It looks like there has never been something.
By the way, the Star Wars rides at Disney are incredible.
That is one of the coolest rides I've ever been on in my life.
I would go on the ride.
It probably is the coolest ride I've ever been on in my life. It was an experience.
Yes.
It was amazing.
Yes. I completely agree.
something to say.
You can experience it.
410-583-1057. Chris is in Parkville. Chris, you're on the Fan.
Gentlemen, great show as always. Love the subject matter and the bits you guys do.
Thank you.
But for me, watching this movie, it was a party. It was invited one of my friends, and a lot of them liked it. Watching it was like torture. The Super Troopers. Oh, my God. No way.
I think you got to be. Were you stoned? I think you have to be stoned to truly appreciate it. I didn't mind.
Maybe that's it, but that's not me. I'm an Irishman. I just drink.
Or just have about 10 Guinness
Super Troopers. I didn't love it.
I thought it was okay.
Yeah.
410-583-1057. Ed is in Towson. Ed, you're on the Fan.
Hey, this is little Ed. Well, shout out to all the autistic kids, as usual. So, one movie I'm not too fond of, it's kind of like a hit or miss, is called Avatar.
Avatar.
Oh, yeah.
I never saw it.
Avatar's
I liked
great.
Avatar. Yeah. Also, the ride at Disney, incredible.
Yes.
The scenery is beautiful, but the story, it's like, I've seen it before.
No, I probably wouldn't like it. I'll probably stay away.
I can guarantee you won't like it.
Yeah, I'll stay away.
It's fantasy. So you're not big on fantasy.
Nope.
Well, I remember when it came out because I was in high school, and it was visually incredible.
Was that James Cameron?
Yes. Yeah.
Visually,
it's an amazing.
Insane.
To me, I never saw the sequel though. But I never saw
the sequel either.
Yeah.
I saw the sequel, and again, I actually liked it.
Really?
I actually liked Avatar.
Did you see the first one and the sequel?
Yes, I saw the first one when I was younger, and then the sequel came out, and we went. Me and
you
my
liked
girlfriend.
The first one.
Yeah, like the first one. I thought the sequel was awesome. The sequel's good.
Did you think it was better than the first?
Yes.
Wow. I need to see it.
Check it out.
Is that The Last Airbender or something like that? Is that what it's called? Yeah, I need to see that. Is it long?
I remember the first one.
The first one's like 3+.
I don't think it's that. I think it's 2+.
Okay.
That's remind, you just saying that reminded me of another movie I hated. The Never-Ending Story. I hated that movie. That movie, like a lot of people were into that movie. Yeah, that movie was a big deal. No. I never got it in real time. I definitely don't get it now.
No, I'm with you on that.
I hate that movie.
We don't agree much on movies. I'll agree on that one. Jason, a lot of hate in his heart. He hates Tron.
I thought Tron was terrible.
I like Tron. The Tron ride at Disney. Very good.
Yeah, so you're biased by these stupid rides.
I love the rides.
Stupid rides.
They're fun.
They're fun rides.
They're fun, Jason.
Yeah. Wait till there's.
They give happiness.
Yeah. Wait till one of those widgets isn't screwed in all the way, bro. They're fun. They're all fun till 20 people die or left hanging upside down for 5 hours.
That's more six.
That's fun.
That escalated quickly. Let's go. Coming up next, Jonah Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. What's he expecting?
Ride or die.
To hear from EDC and John Harbaugh tomorrow. We'll ask him next here on The Fan.